Now we're on.
Now, we'll call to order a regular meeting and public hearing, North Bend Planning Commission, Thursday, March 27th, 2014, at City Hall. First item on the agenda, minutes of the March 13 meeting. Have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Any corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Carries. Next item is public comment on non-agenda items. I'm assuming that most of you are here for something on the agenda. Is there anyone here wishing to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda?
Travis Bridgman, 713 Oakle Avenue, Northeast, North Bend, Washington, 98945. And I'm just actually happy that the advertisement worked and people are curious in the future planning of the city, so more to listen and to talk tonight, but welcome, fellow citizens.
Thanks, Travis. Anyone else? Moving on, the next item on the agenda is a public hearing regarding CenturyLink comprehensive plan, land use designation, and zoning amendments. As a public hearing, we'll follow, and since there are many of you here tonight, we'll try and follow more formal procedures than we might regularly. We do try to be a little informal. We have a sign-in sheet. If you want to speak on the matter, should sign in, and I'll call folks in the order. The public hearing is regarding the CenturyLink requests, and after some introduction by staff, we'll take public comments, and then we'll close the public hearing and move on to deliberations from there. So who's opening, Mike?
I can open, yeah. So I think I recognize some members of the public in the audience tonight. You might recognize this agenda. It's come before the Planning Commission previously. This started out in our 2013 docketing process, which is the process by which citizens, property owners, et cetera, can submit requested changes to our comprehensive plan and development regulations. So CenturyLink, a property owner that owns one of the commercial buildings there on South Fork Avenue, whatever it turns into after that point, 412th Avenue Southeast, submitted a docket requesting that their zoning be changed from low-density residential to commercial. That was taken up by the Planning Commission and considered. The Planning Commission at the time ultimately recommended denial because the property was not yet in city limits. Their recommendation denial was that denied until such a time as the property were to be annexed, at which point it could be reconsidered. It went to council. Council considered the issue and had similar concerns and recommended denial at that point. After that, CenturyLink came back to the city and said, if we are to annex, would you then consider taking back those amendments and changing the zoning? We brought that to our council committee, the Community and Economic Development Council Committee. They considered the issue, and one of the principal concerns that the council had was the potential loss of the real estate excise tax revenue from not having that property in the city limits at the time of the development. So they wanted to see annexation precede that. We did a little bit of calculation on what that REIT revenue would be, and it turned out to be about $5,500. The council committee didn't consider that to be valuable enough to hold off the rezone, which could encourage a commercial user to come to the city, which could potentially bring greater long-term business and occupation tax revenue than the short-term REIT revenue. So the council committee recommended that it go back to the Planning Commission for reconsideration, and that's where it's at tonight. What the proposal is to rezone the property of CenturyLink and the adjacent AT&T property, which also has a commercial building on their property, to interchange mixed use, which is a commercial zone it's the same commercial zone as what the properties to the north and the Safeway complex allows for a mix of commercial uses and residential uses. In the staff report that we provided originally to the Planning Commission, we had recommended not allowing certain higher intensity commercial uses, such as restaurants, hotels, auto-oriented businesses, because this property was a little bit further down the road from the rest of the commercial development and more into the residential context. The Planning Commission will reconsider that. I know the property owner was interested in allowing a broader range of commercial uses, considering the adjacency to that zone to the north.
Good. Thanks, Mike. So we'll start with public comments. I'll just go down the list first. We'll ask you to hold your comments to about 3 minutes apiece. See how we're doing at that point. Please, when called upon, you have to state your full name and address for the record so we can catch the recording. And as a reminder, tonight's meeting, as all of the meetings, are recorded and are available on the city's website, as well as the written minutes that come out afterwards. So the most full, obviously, recording of the minutes is the vocal one that's posted to the website. So with that, Ed Thomas.
I'm Ed Thomas, 12802 412th Avenue Southeast, North End, 045. And the reason my wife and I are here is because our property is directly across the street from CenturyLink and the AT&T building, and our property actually sets higher elevation-wise, but of course, we are currently, just like the CenturyLink and AT&T building, in unincorporated King County. As of today, it's still unincorporated, correct?
Correct.
So, as far as I was made to understand today by a fellow co-worker, this dotted red line is an area that's in unincorporated King County. This is something that North Bend has no interest in touching due to flood, correct?
No, that would be annexed subject to an annexation petition.
It could be.
UGA line, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we're looking. Yeah. Do you understand what the urban growth boundary line is?
Right. That's the red line.
Right.
Yeah,
it's the dotted red line, yeah.
That's the city limit line.
On my map.
Yeah.
It was in purple, and that was this area here, correct?
That'd be outside the boundary, though.
Okay, so then you're talking this.
Anything that you see in color is in the city's urban growth boundary.
Okay, so the dotted red line is in the urban growth potential territory. Mm-hmm. So basically, those two lots, if you guys do grant them commercial or light commercial, is that something that could happen across the street from those properties?
It potentially could happen. We certainly want to consider logical boundaries to zoning designations. These two, the staff recommended that they do be rezoned to commercial because it made sense that they're adjacent to commercial. They're on the west side of 412, closer to the freeway. Across the street, it gets more into residential area, and there may be additional consideration for appropriate adjacencies.
Our concerns are traffic. We already have an exuberant amount of traffic. Second of all, sewer. There's not sewer to that point, so it would have to be carried down from the Safeway down the road, which makes us liable to tie into at some point when our septic system fails, correct?
Just for the purpose of the hearing, why don't we take comment and then we can come back to address questions.
Yes, yeah. That's really the best, but I'm making note of your questions as well, so we
sure.
can come back.
Well, sidewalks, sewer, traffic, those are part of our main concerns, and then the water retention on the CenturyLink property is it can't hold any water. You get an inch of rain and it's there for a day. So, you know, there's no vault, there's no infiltration system, and the properties over behind Los Cabos and Safeway, we get a hard rain, it fills up. So, you know, I'm afraid if it's developed any further than it currently is, it's going to leach across the road to us. As far as I know, that's, you know, given what my parameters are and what my concerns are, that's as much as I could talk about, right?
Well, you can express any of your concerns.
Well, yeah. But I mean, having to be stuck currently, those two buildings beyond a septic system itself, not tied into a sewer system, they're going to have to bring that down the road, and that would make the properties from the AT&T building all the way down to the Safeway on the hook for, you know, a $20,000 bill over a 20-year period, which is about $1,500 a year, you know.
The if a development happened there, you want to wait until the end.
Yeah, and I, because I think he's asking questions that are really re-encompassing.
Okay.
Apparently, then I don't really have any more, to say. But again, it's still in unincorporated King County. It's really, you guys are trying to get some input if it's, if you want to make it a commercial property.
Right. Yeah. The thing before us is a zoning change of the type of use, and how that would be linked to a annexation petition, and that's what's under consideration. And then I'll let staff, when we've completed the public input, address what the development implications are.
Right.
It should address a lot of your questions.
Okay.
Yeah. And if we don't get all of them, I'll come back around and ask.
Okay.
Thank you. Travis.
I'm Travis Bridgman. And I thought that a lot of the public hearing tonight was about the overall comprehensive plan of the city. The vision statement?
Later on.
Okay, I'll...
All right, thank you.
Silence.
Jim, you marked your name off, correct?
I'll speak, thank you.
Susan Bond.
Hi, I'm Susan Bond, and my address is 315 East Park Street, number 28 in North Bend. And I guess I have a question about... I know these properties well, and I know the property owners well. Is this driven by a particular development request, by a particular sale of the property? Because in the past, they've been very reluctant to entertain offers for sale. And a lot of my comments would be measured by the kind of development that's proposed there. So maybe it would be helpful to learn what's the most intensive kind of development, and then after knowing that, then I guess I also have a comment. Later, you'll talk about overall comprehensive plan. I would love to see downtown North Bend have a very good redevelopment plan where we better use the properties that are currently designated for retail, business, and commercial. It would be perfect to relocate if they were willing, and I think that might be receptive, that Chaplains be relocated out to this site where there is freeway visibility, which they long for. I'm giving you my comments.
I understand. Right now, during this particular public hearing, they're really intended to be pertinent to this site.
And
okay. Thank you.
So I am not in favor of this for any use. I'm asking what the uses are proposed that generated this. And I'm suggesting that if you consider that, I sure would like to see Chaplains' tax money retained, have it annexed, put out there, give them what they want.
Thank you. Don?
Cross my name off. I just wanted to hear the vision.
Okay. Tom?
So, my name is Tom Wilson. I live at 36105 Southeast 89th Place in Snoqualmie. I am here on behalf of CenturyLink and their petition organization. CenturyLink does have an interest in selling the property, and as has been said, it's currently zoned low density residential in unincorporated King County. Historically, it's been used as a telecommunications facility for 50 years. So it's been. It has had an active commercial use for those 50-odd years, but couldn't be continued for a commercial use without the zoning change. So given its proximity to the freeway, it seems like given choices in North Bend and surrounding communities, not many people would pick that property to build a new house on. They'd find something more suitable for new residential single-family development. So if CenturyLink's going to sell the property, we think it's going to be essential to change the underlying zoning to be consistent with the location and proximity to the freeway and other commercial uses. So that's the basis of the application. And there is a stated objective on their part to sell the property. They're not continuing to use it. And until it's a marketable property with a likely use in the market, it'll sit there vacant and not provide any benefit to the city or its neighbors. So I guess, should I speak to the uses now, or do you want to have that?
Yep. You should give your input now.
I would argue that the interchange mixed use zoning range of permitted uses, more of them should be allowed and possibly expanded. And if you look at the traffic volumes associated with some of the uses that are marked as to be continued as permitted, I'll take a park and ride parking lot, for example. If you count the number of stalls that you could put on a 78,000 square foot lot and the number of trips per day that that would result in, and compare it to some of the other uses that have been struck, you'd wind up with fewer trips from those struck uses than you would from a park and ride parking lot. So, for example, if you built a light industrial building, you have fewer trips per day going to a light industrial assembly structure than you would have for a park and ride parking lot. So I would advocate for a broader range of permitted uses that would be in keeping with the nature of the property and wouldn't bring any more traffic to the location than the range of uses that are already marked as to be permitted. So that's about as succinct as I can put the use in.
Okay, thank you. Celia? Well, or if you want to speak, not related to this, okay. Is there anyone else who can wishing to speak on this matter? Okay. If not, then we'll close the public hearing. Question to staff. Do you want to address the development questions within the public hearing?
Either way, I think, or you could close it and we could have just informal discourse.
All right. Well, then let's continue on then to close the public hearing. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is Planning Commission review of this recommendation. So I guess the first place I'd like to start is the question to staff. You heard a lot of the questions too. Mm-hmm. If you would just kind of give us an overview, make sure everyone's on this same page with what does annexation mean, what does the change in zoning mean, and then what would be the allowable development regulations.
Yeah, so annexation is the first step to developing anything under what the zoning is in the city's zoning. If they were to develop right now, if any of you were to develop right now, you'd be subject to the county zoning. In this case, it's urban reserve, which is just residential. You could only develop a single family home. Annexation is considered by the city council after an annexation petition is submitted. That can happen anywhere within the urban growth boundary, but it should be contiguous to existing city limits. In this case, it is. Unless you have anything else that you want to add on annexation, we can go
no,
on.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Heard concerns about stormwater retention. So any new development would be subject to the city's stormwater controls. We've adopted the King County Surface Water Design Manual, which is a pretty progressive stormwater control. Developments would have to meet those stormwater requirements before they would be approved. And those requirements focus on infiltration of stormwater on site. There's requirements that you not discharge to any other adjacent properties, only to the natural point of discharge. And so with the subject to those requirements, stormwater would be handled on the site. What other concerns?
Well,
Does that mean that the developer would pay for all of those costs?
Yes, they would. Sewer connection, it would be required prior to any development. All new development within North Bend requires sewer. That connection, sewer connection in areas that are not served by sewer can happen in two ways. The developer can just provide the connection themselves, or if they're at quite a distance from where the nearest available sewer is, they can petition for the formation of a utility local improvement district by which all the property owners benefiting in an area would collectively pay for that extension. In this case, the sewer is right there, so it would not be a very far extension, and that property owner could conceivably just do it entirely on their own.
And since they would be triggering the need for the sewer, they would be required to extend the sewer.
And just to the point of clarification, I think that was being expressed, there's nothing within that that would force any of these homeowners
to connect,
particularly those not within city limits, to connect.
Right. And in fact, I do believe in King County, if your septic fails, even though sewer would be closed, you are still able to repair that because you're still in unincorporated King County.
I heard a comment about allowing auto dealers. That would keep in mind that zoning amendments applied to a zone would apply throughout the zone unless you specify that it's particular to a property. In this case, an auto dealer on those specific properties in that location would be a pretty high intensity use that I think we, yeah.
As we discussed last year, I believe you brought it up, it would be more legal, dental, along those lines, no actual detail type situations.
Yeah, that's correct.
Actually, why don't you read through what
sure.
would not be allowed?
So,
as recommended, what's not?
As recommended,
yeah. The Planning Commission considered alterations to that as well. So right now, what would be allowed would be everything within the interchange mixed-use zone, which again is a very broad residential and commercial zone, which allows gas stations, retail of all sorts, restaurants, a number of uses. Actually, I'm not sure about gas stations, but
Mike, is Dr. O's property already in the city, or is it included?
It is already in the city. Yeah.
Thanks.
So
and is in the IMU. Correct?
Right.
It is one of the.
It's immediately north of the CenturyLink property. What would not be allowed would be.
Just to clarify, so the O property though is not similarly restricted.
Correct. Yeah. So what's not proposed under the staff report would be automotive vehicle category. So that's your gas stations, auto parts stores, repair shops, and so forth. Banks and financial institutions, check cashing, quick loans, convenience stores, grocery, supermarket, hotels, all uses under the restaurant category and retail. And the intent are not permitted. And the intent of that was those are the most highly active, highly lit up, lots of traffic types of uses that would be probably more disruptive to adjacent properties than other uses such as offices, medical, dental, those types of things that tend to be a quieter use.
And all the multifamilies allow.
Yeah.
And is there a height restriction?
Just per the city's regulations, 35 feet.
So basically the AT&T building is actually over the limit.
That one's probably under 35 feet. I don't know it offhand, but 35 feet can typically accommodate a two- or three-story building.
It's a three-story.
It's probably right on the cusp.
It is pretty close.
But it's grandfather.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. To tear that down on a lot that's actually smaller than mine would be, you couldn't put something back up there that size, could you?
Mm-hmm. Right. If it was over 35 feet, right? Yeah.
The height?
No, his question is footprint.
Yeah, could you actually build a building that big on a piece of property that small?
Subject to meeting the setbacks.
And what's the FAR on the property? Is it 1? Is it 0.5?
Is it
the same? FAR wouldn't be a limiting factor.
Yeah, it would be setbacks.
It would be setbacks.
Yeah.
And setbacks are not very limiting. Parking and stormwater controls and those kind of things would be the big driver.
Okay.
That's a hard question to answer without the facts of...
You could put a vault underneath the building and the infiltration system. I work for an underground utility, so I'm well aware of water retention on site. And I just, quite frankly, I don't see it on either one of those properties without using the property on the corner to hold a lot of that moisture.
Yeah. There's an awful lot that would have to be evaluated. But I think, in all theory,
I mean, if you guys do annex it, it does become light commercial, which is fine. It's going to be quite a few years out, you know, because there's so many different environmental impact and all these. And I do understand how the system works in that way, but we're not talking they're going to slap something together in the next 12 months. I mean, it just literally couldn't happen.
But we have no idea what, our view and our decision is solely about the allowable uses. What may happen from there, when that might happen, are subject to a developer coming forward with a proposal and then the city staff process. So talked a little bit about the development regulations, how it would apply, the type of development that can occur on there. And Tom, you were pointing out his current commercial uses, et cetera. So is there anything that you feel we didn't address? Just want to put that to the audience.
I guess what I was curious about, that I asked earlier, is has there been a development proposal that initiated this?
Well, it's not a development proposal. It was a request.
Has someone come to sue you for developing that?
The answer is no.
That initiated the annexation?
No.
The
CenturyLink approached us because they were interested to sell the property, and they couldn't sell the property.
Without a certain buyer in mind.
Not that I'm
aware of. As far as the city's aware, it's just about the zoning.
Okay. With that, we'll turn to the commissioners and ask, where do you want to go?
I just have a quick question for staff. Do you know what the 412th Street designation is, if it's a connector or what type of load capacity it can have, I guess?
Under the comprehensive plan? I know it's a local. I don't know at that point on 412th. I'd have to go get a comp plan.
If it
would probably be either a local access street or a collector. I don't think it would be an arterial.
You're asking how is it classified currently?
Yes.
And then if it was to be IMU, does that change the designation of the street?
No.
So it doesn't have a fixed capacity
street,
and...
Street frontage improvements would be required for the development. So that's sidewalk, curb, gutter, widening the travel lane as necessary to accommodate what's in that street standard.
If the traffic analysis suggested improvements beyond curb, gutter, sidewalk.
That's a part of the concurrency review. So concurrency evaluates a project's impacts to intersections, levels of service at those intersections. And if it warrants, if the project were to drop the level of service beyond a D, then off-site improvements to intersections would be required.
For layman's term, the D represents your wait time?
Yes.
Intersections or lights?
And does that relate also to lane width and the number of lanes?
No. That could be addressed through SEPA.
There's two things. I mean, your question actually is really good. Because what classification is will trigger what size lanes and street improvements would be required. So my recollection is it's a collector definitely from the current commercial upward. So
the basis of my question, there's a point at which it narrows, and I'm wondering if it changes designation at some point.
Right.
Well,
so there's two ways.
Right away narrower is just the street profile.
Right. And there's two ways that we would address this. As right now, we're just dealing with pre-annexation zoning, just like you do throughout your entire UGA. So when and if there is an annexation petition that is submitted to the city, that is also a time where we can look at the street and determine the necessary changes that we'd have to make to the standards to accommodate that. Then, on top of that, when you come in for a development proposal, we have different avenues through SEPA to address whether there's unusual circumstances that we would maybe need to apply some standards if our code for some reason did not foresee it. However, our code, this is most likely a collector, which would just require a little wider sidewalk and a little wider planter strip. Lane width, I think, in a collector's 10, and then parking. And they would be on, you know, required to provide those improvements.
Thank you. So the next question is, given that IMU is supposed to be a transitional zone and a buffer between residential and higher commercial uses, why place more restrictions on this individual lot? And I know you said being sensitive to the higher use functions, but we've heard about the dangers of site-specific zoning, and I just want to know why this is a wise choice in this instance.
It's something that we wrestled with, so it's something that the Planning Commission should consider. We just felt that there would probably be concern among the public about the higher traffic uses down that street.
From a planning standpoint, the core of our commercial district basically ends at that South Fork Road. With Dr. O's property, since everybody seems to know it's Dr. O's property, also fronting South Fork, right? And so as you turn that corner and head south on that road, you really have now endeavored into a much more residential in nature atmosphere. And to maintain that character and complement that character, we looked at the zoning options, the uses, that would be somewhat compatible, and we felt that the office, you know, the lighter commercial impact type of uses were more appropriate as you made that corner and headed back down.
On purely a traffic consideration, or what
also impacts, so levels of lighting, levels of noise, signage.
More character, because traffic can always be addressed with improvements. But, you know, we have a couple things playing. We have the greenway that there's been a, you know, a huge community effort region-wide to keep the greenway somewhat
green,
soft and green, yeah. And as we look to grow the commercial uses on at that intersection, that is that interchange is our highly commercial interchange. But as you turn that corner and head south on that road, that's where the character changes, and the properties to the east will always be zoned residential, most likely, I mean, for the foreseeable 20 to 40 year planning horizon. So that's where we're looking at that complementary zoning to that residential interface.
But the proposed annexation area that you're looking at tonight, are the uses compatible with the adjacent Dr. O property so that you could maximize that whole area for the city?
Depending on what was proposed. If Dr. O's property, they wanted to do a hotel, for example, this would not allow it on the adjacent property if you were trying to do a consolidated project.
But they could do the parking and the... Or no? Is it you don't allow the building or you don't allow the use?
The use.
The use, okay.
Also,
go ahead.
A parking lot, whether it's supporting a hotel or a parking lot, I mean, if it's a parking lot and it's on a separate tax parcel, you're saying you wouldn't allow a parking lot on the site?
If it's meeting the need of the use on the adjacent parcel, it would probably have to be considered as a whole.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. For standalone.
Understood.
So you said something that was very interesting to me. So we don't worry about the street until the petition for annexation is submitted.
No, that's just another time. If for some reason, the nice thing is we're going through our comp plan. So if we wanted to extend the, change the category of that road, we can do that through this year's comp planning process.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if we weren't in that window of opportunity. We also could do it when an annexation comes in, the city can evaluate the annexation mm-hmm. and its impacts to the city. Mm-hmm. And
the street standards, I wouldn't think would make much difference, though, because you're still accommodating travel lanes. Mm-hmm. Most of the streets around here are local access streets, not collectors. Mm-hmm. And so what the collector does is it just, I think it drops off the parking lane. And
you're talking more about the paved width.
Yeah. And the amount of existing right-of-way is primarily what governs that. So if there's already a determined right-of-way, mm-hmm. the only thing that would change that is if you have a standard that then requires a wider right-of-way and the applicant would have to dedicate additional.
Okay.
What's the maximum density for multifamily on site?
21 units per acre. It's not as a firm 21 units per acre, but by the time that you provide the, it's based on amount of ground space per unit, and when you calculate that out, it winds up at 21 per acre.
So it's 35 units of apartments to do on the site. So how many hotel rooms could you put on the site?
I wouldn't be able to answer that.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot of hypotheticals.
No, just, yeah. We understand, Tom. We appreciate that. I am playing fairly loose with our rules because we're kind of out of question and answers time. But since there is a, you know, since we've got a good audience and actually we love having visitors come and share their thoughts, so I'm continuing down that road. Susan, before you get, Celia, I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah, and this is just, I don't know which property is the Dr. Hill property. Is that the property that is in between the corner and the church? The
correct.
Blank property?
Okay.
Yeah, on the corner.
I just needed that clarified. I wasn't sure if it was across the street.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll try and make this the last
one. I'll make my last one on this topic. So I guess, Gina, one of the things that I'd be curious about is, will the city, if this goes through, take a proactive role in trying to do some redevelopment or combine Dr. O, the Mormon Church, since they're trying to sell the CenturyLink properties, and really make a nice development that would get a great tax base from? What is the city looking at that?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at, we're looking citywide to, I mean, this is just one potential opportunity that we have throughout our city to, you know, maximize the best opportunity for that particular parcel. So, yes, we're always looking to.
So and it's not just we're potentially annexing the CenturyLink properties, but the city could look at a little broader.
Just clarify that what we're talking about, though, is the individual properties and individual property owners and what they might want to come forward with. It's not the city choosing to combine properties or to direct a particular type of development.
The council or planning commission is not considering any annexation at this point. They're just considering the zoning. So an annexation petition would have to follow from that based on what those property owners submitted.
It would be nice to see.
The big picture starts with the underlying zoning because you have to have a baseline to allow developers, buyers, to have ground rules to buy and invest. So right now it's that zoning element.
Yep.
So thank you, Gary. Did you
have one more? I know we say hotels are not permitted, but if you have something like a Clarion or Hampton Inn, is that a motel or a hotel?
Probably a hotel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that our code actually clarifies the definition is clear between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Also, let me ask a question. So I have a question about our prior conversation in our collection. So do we want that as part of this conversation or part of the
We're at that stage. What I feel is that we've taken it all in.
Yep.
It's time for us to make a decision on where we want to go with staff's recommendations. So now is the time to ask your questions.
Thank you. So when we discussed this previously, as you recall, Jim made the motion to not approve this. And he specifically called out that evening to not approve it because it wasn't annexed.
To receive an annexation.
Right. And so, and I think it's even in the notes that someone else had said, oh, well, hey, what if we just not approve it, take out the annex piece?
That was turned down.
And that was turned down.
Right.
But there were some specific things about what Jim said that night that struck me, and it was like,
because so what I recall of the, I mean, the gist of that conversation and the one that council took up as well was the notion that feeling that we really wanted to see annexation mm-hmm. precede or concurrent with the, mm-hmm. the change in the zoning. As Mike was explaining, when this came back this year, council committee asked him to take a look at, well, what's the real implication of that? And to my understanding, is that essentially the evaluation said all we're talking of difference of here is the REIT money, the potential REIT on the sale is a relatively small figure versus getting it into a position where mm-hmm. there could be a sale and therefore that would trigger an annexation petition. Is that fairly
exactly.
stated?
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
And I don't understand the REIT part, so that's...
Excise tax on the sale.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay.
So, okay. Well, so while I was comfortable with what we did, you know, last year in regard to saying, hey, we want to see annexation take place first, I understand also the logic council's suggestion that can be passed on in regard to whatever the zoning is before it's going to be developed, it has to be annexed, and so it's an automatic trigger anyway. So I'm comfortable with the notion of moving forward on that. I'm less comfortable, although I'm still open to being convinced, of putting additional restrictions beyond the IMU. I mean, IMU is very specific and very distinct versus IC and versus our other commercial zones. And to continue to drill down with particulars just doesn't feel quite right to me, and particularly to contiguous properties. I do understand the notion of, you know, okay, it's around the corner. It's currently the road profile is somewhat different, and that, I think, goes back to you know, is this a collector standard through, or is it something else? I know there's been some long-range vision that would see the road extended, looped all the way around the city. So, you know, that's way beyond any time I'm going to be involved in this. So just that overall notion says, why would we restrict this more than the rest of the IMU? So that's where I'm leaning. I'm sharing that more
is
with
to
the two
take
of you.
So yours is potentially.
I'd be more inclined to strike the additional language that was inserted and pass it as is. And there's, I think, a couple of findings that would be impacted if we did strike that.
So just to kind of. The only thing that would change by striking all of those were when you strike hotel. The height limit goes from the 35 feet to 55 feet because hotels are allowed that for that. That's the one thing to keep in mind.
That's the kind of thing I'm looking for. Okay.
But there could be the same 55-foot hotel on the adjacent parcel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That 55 feet would just be specific to hotels. Other uses would be separate.
The adjacent parcel means
the whole property.
Yes, that is true.
I'm not
this
sure
is
which
just
one
for.
That is that this down here? Which one? Can
we
someone point it out on this map? Because this
is
map this is awful.
That's the Dr. O property. In the
there's the church. There's the Century Link, and there's the AT&T.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what's at the corner? Right. That's
the
church.
Baker.
The corner itself is the vacant Dr. O property.
Here's Safeway. Here's 412. Here's, so this is the O property.
And then the church is the other blue one to the left.
Right.
And is that being considered sold also?
No, that's already in city limits.
I think it's clear, it would be helpful, nothing's necessarily being considered to be sold or anything. What we're doing right now is looking at the zoning that would be in place prior to annexation, and where I think the developer or the person representing this, the owner, yeah, is interested is to have the pre-annexation zoning reflect more of what the building on the site looks like, so they could go potentially market it and then potentially find a seller or a buyer, excuse me. So that's kind of where we are.
Yeah. In a nutshell, if you're picturing that map, it's talking about extending that teal blue color down along the freeway for those couple of properties, not changing anything that's on the north side. Or the, excuse me, east side of the roadway. So.
Just also to respond, Planning Commission at the last meeting had inquired about contacting the property owners to the south. I sent a letter to them. The only person that I heard back from was Barbara Sweeney, who lives at the on the last residential property, and she said she was not interested.
You're not interested. Okay.
Not interested in annexing or
in participating in a rezone on their property.
So, that was a question I specifically I wanted to make sure those owners were aware. And if they wanted to join, that would be something we would look at. Okay.
Do you want to amend?
Happy to make the motion, but
I don't have anything further.
Okay. Becker, do you have
anything
further?
So
then, let's see, how will I frame this motion? Let me ask a few more questions before we get the motion. Mike, under A2, the zoning maps, if we strike the language as I'm suggesting, does that not eliminate the language there into the zoning map?
Yes. So there would not be an asterisk noting special performance standards apply.
And likewise, under B in the findings, the third paragraph, that would be struck as well.
What page are you on?
Page 3.
Under B?
B, all right. B, 1, context and neighborhood, the
under
third
finding
paragraph,
analysis,
finding analysis. The third paragraph
third
starts
paragraph.
To prevent potential, right?
Yeah.
That wouldn't apply.
Correct.
Right. Then the next paragraph, the question is, it, and that also would not apply.
Right.
Okay. Piper, are you with me? Gary,
I am. I might have one more question, though, but
so those were just the findings in the staff report, though.
Yep.
The Planning Commission recommendation would reflect your revisions.
Well, what I'm suggesting is that those two findings would
drop those out.
They're part of the staff recommendation, I understand, but I wouldn't be looking for them to be part of the Planning Commission's recommendation if this action were taken.
Yeah.
So that's what. So based on that, then I would move to accept the proposed change in, get this correct, I didn't actually tee me up with a good statement here, guys. Sure, you go for it. If you've got it figured out.
Yeah. And then you're going to, I just want to be clear on the process. So I'll make a motion to approve comprehensive plan use designation and zoning map amendment for 12727 and 12805 412 Avenue Southeast.
I'll second. And I'll offer a friendly amendment.
Yes.
To within that proposal to strike the additive restrictions found under Table 1810.050, Section 2D. I had all of the added language.
Second.
So first question would be then on the amendment. Any discussion on that?
No, but I had one other question. So
Do you want to take it as part of the motion?
No.
Okay.
I just like
will it be impacted by the final motion?
No.
In favor of the motion, I just want to say that while I want to be sensitive to the residential nature of the area, I think with any potential development where we can address the impacts based on what the potential use is going to be the most adequate time to make those decisions. And I think it will be just a lot cleaner in our code to have IMU, which is already fairly restrictive, you know, just stand by itself in that light.
Yeah, and I guess I should be clear in the way that I'm viewing that is very much the same, and also that I'm very comfortable with our code protecting, and that, you know, development proposals have to meet very high standards, and I'm confident in the city's ability to make sure any development there proceeds appropriately. Any further discussion on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any further discussion on the overall motion?
So just remind me, so this is currently zoned residential. Did I read something that it was originally commercial at some point? Did I read that somewhere? Okay.
The buildings are essentially commercial in use, but the zoning has been residential.
It's always been residential since
under the city.
Under the same,
and
correct.
Under the county, too. The county's urban reserve, right?
Urban reserve. I don't know the history of the county zoning on that property. Currently, it's urban reserve.
That's great.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Next item on our agenda, review and discussion, North Bend Vision Statement. Anyone from the public here wish to, well, first off, staff give you the opportunity to introduce the topic, and then we'll see if anyone would like to share their thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know if you wanted to. I can give an introduction. Okay. So this is kind of in the context of getting ready to update our land use element of our comprehensive plan. So we're in a cycle. Every 8 years, we're required under the Growth Management Act to update our comprehensive plan. Before we do that, we want to come back to what is the core essence of how we want to see North Bend develop in the future, and that comes back to our vision statement. We have a vision statement that was prepared through a visioning exercise that dates all the way back to 1992. That's a long time ago. That vision exercise used a visual preference survey with participants to rank various images of the built landscape and the natural environment in terms of how people saw North Bend, what they valued, what they didn't want to see, and that then turned into a number of recommendations for amendments to the comp plan at the time to address development consistent with what that visual preference survey indicated. The end of that visual preference survey resulted in a kind of a loosely developed vision statement. And so that vision statement at the end is what we wanted to come back to tonight and go through with the Planning Commission and the public to see, does that still reflect our values, our vision for the community? Are there things that we want to change in it? So Planning Commission has that. I don't know the best way to get that to the public. We can just kind of read it or...
Certainly not all of
the... Yeah, not the whole thing, but
just the,
but, yeah, the key... Yeah.
The, I can
perhaps, yeah, since it's
that's
very
that's
short.
Yeah, that's quite impressive. Yeah. I'll go make copies real quick.
Okay, that would be great.
We did have a few extra copies of the agenda around.
It's just the vision statement. Yeah.
Is there a pile of... page?
Yeah, if you just hand me the page, Mike, I'll go.
Okay.
You're just talking about the actual...
Just the statement itself, yeah.
So what staff's going to... you for members of the audience. There's a one-page North Bend's vision statement has a couple of preamble paragraphs and about five bullet points of context there. to help us move along. If you'd like to speak on this matter, if you spoke previously, just please restate your name so we know who's speaking on for that. If you were speaking and did not speak previously, please give full name and address. And so with that, is there someone who would like to speak on this matter?
Are we talking about the vision statement?
The vision statement.
Yeah.
37.
On 37. 31 is just kind of the condensed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The vision. Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
Jim Randall, 315 East Park Street, Unit 2, Park Bend. I have a question rather than a comment. Are they going to do another vision statement survey?
We were not planning to, because for the sake of time, we were hoping to just kind of reflect on the vision statement that already exists and determine, is it still valid?
And how many years has it been since 1992?
It has been a long time.
Comment-wise, Jim, yeah. I went to the, I guess, a focus group last year over at the
senior center.
Yeah. And so that just basically covers the same thing. They were focused on downtown redevelopment, but it would have to fit in this thing, comprehensive plan.
Just to clarify, the reason this full information is in front of us is that as we were looking at the potential changes in front of us, we were talking about the vision statement that was in some of the vision type language that was in some of the code we were looking at, and we said, well, let's go back and just make sure that we have looked at what is the city's vision statement. And so it wasn't really a discussion on is it outdated in regard to just a number of years. It was more of a, do we think this is still guiding? Is this still consistent with what is in current code?
And the intention also with this is to just fold this. Right now it's just in the back of an appendix to the comprehensive plan. And our intent is to take that concise vision statement and bring it to the front of the comp plan so it really guides the document and portrays what the city's vision is.
A postscript. Yeah.
So my name is Susan Bond, and I'm at 315 East Park Street, number 28, North Bend. And I would say from a planning perspective, the best practices, 22 years is too long. There are too many new people that have moved into the area who have not participated in this plan. Politics regionally of the area has changed substantially. Mountains to Sound Greenway, while a great organization, has less impact, thank goodness. And I would like to see a whole new visioning survey.
Thank you.
I second that.
I think one of the, however we want to do it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get comments.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm Celia McNair. 13121450 Place, North Bend, 90045. And our neighborhood group has been discussing the North Bend vision, and we recognize that there has been significant change since it was originally written, but there are some core elements of it that we feel need to stay in this vision. And one that is particularly affecting us at this time is the bullet that is 1, 2, 3, 4 down in the waterfront. We are off of Tanner Road, which is along the Middle Fork. And we believe that the protection of the riverways, the Middle Fork, the South Fork, need to be paramount in our vision plan. That is a huge draw for people wanting to live in our area and also for people wanting to come and spend time in our area. And we do not want to have our growth and density of growth to become so profound by the river that it detracts from its natural appeal and its use as a recreational area, both by our citizens and by our visitors.
Thank you. Travis?
Travis Bridgman. And I look at the vision statement like a document of mentorship. It should be the basis for our community, for our existence, and what we want to be, who we want to become. If we're going to be a safe, family-friendly, pet-inviting environment, how are we going to do that? So this document should be popular. We should all know what it says. All the citizens want to know what it says. It's got to be our, who we are in the community, a recommendation on how to live, what to do, how to recreate, how to shop, or how to create revenue, and how to grow our families and be adventurous. So I think it does need to be gone over. And it's interesting how much public comment or public interest people will have in it, but the more enticing that it is, then more people will be interested in contributing to it.
In supporting it,
exactly. And from walking around, everybody kind of wants to be supportive of it, but right now they have no idea what it is. It's at the back of the document. It should be the basis. I mean, this could be on like posters just part of us. We all live here. We love it here. And I think the community has a lot of growth that we want to see as a citizen, as a business venture. And this is our opportunity. This is the basis for our growth through the next 8 years, and it's very serious.
Thanks, Travis.
Doing another visioning plan and gaining additional participants and more publicity for that will only give you greater buy-in for whatever it is we do. Right now, I think there are a lot of people who feel estranged. Long-timers and newcomers.
Is there anyone else who wishes to provide some feedback for them? Great. Thank you. Well, Mike, so where do you want to go with this?
I think what we were hoping to do is just dive into kind of the core essence of the vision statement, which is that first paragraph on page 37, and look at some of the words in there, reflect on what do those words mean, what does rural character mean to us, what does scenic or our natural beauty mean to us, what is small town scale, and consider are there other things that this is missing? Are there words in there that may not be conveying what the message of what North Bend is about? So
I guess I'd put it to staff first. You're the closest to it. You are the closest to the code. When I read what's here, mm-hmm. I find it very consistent what we're doing overall. But for you to even bring it to us and say we want to dive deeper here, I'm presuming that you're seeing something either missing or different that you wanted to share.
So I'm just going to read it. I apologize. The copy machine wasn't working. So let me read what it says. The vision of the residents of North Bend put forth through their collective responses in the visual preference survey. So obviously we're going to have to, if we're going to update this, get rid of some of those that language that reflects back to the 1992 process.
Or just state what it is, when it was.
The vision
is, in 92.
The vision is one of preservation and enhancement. The community of North Bend wants to preserve its rural character, natural beauty, and small town scale. The residents of the community also have a desire for enhancing the existing built environment of the downtown, the riverfront and community parks, now new and existing residential neighborhoods, and the community's gateways. And then it goes on to some specific recommendations, but that gets a little bit further from the core vision statement.
So the way that you would see it is it's this opening that sets the essential vision, and then the following is essentially more detail around how that vision should be enacted.
Yeah. And those bullet points could be brought in, maybe simplified, but brought in as a part of that. What I wanted to do is go back to rural character, natural beauty, and small town scale. Mm-hmm. Rural character, if you look back in the vision plan on page 35 and 36, it looked at what constitutes rural character in the mind of the participants at the time. To me, rural is a little bit problematic, and that doesn't mean that we don't like the scenic beauty of the rural environment, but rural, if you look at up definitions of rural, rural indicates the opposite of town. It's countryside, it's farmland, it's forest. Within North Bend, we have beautiful rural surroundings, but to say that we have rural character might be a bit of a misnomer. So I know that's a very sensitive issue because we love the character of our town in the rural surroundings, but I felt like rural character might be problematic. So what I was wanting to talk about is, are there other words that convey the same meaning but not give the sense that we will maintain farmland within the city forever? So natural character, informal character.
You're suggesting we're not going to maintain farmland in the city?
under the Growth Management Act, we have to accommodate urban uses.
I'd be unhappy about that.
And the other thing, as we look at this, remember too, sometimes the best way to have people remember things is to keep them short and succinct. And this is such a long statement that you get lost in it. Mm-hmm. So, that was one of the aspects that I thought could be improved upon.
So,
short and simple would be anything goes.
Right, and that would, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's the balance of...
Words matter.
Yeah.
No, I'm not suggesting...
I like those words.
Right, I'm not suggesting we take away words that matter. What I, like, for example, rural character, instead of maybe explaining what it is, it maybe find small town character or something that fits what we feel, and maybe it actually fits what, I mean, maybe you guys feel this is good. I mean, because it actually does resonate well.
I wish I had printed something because you may have been there and heard this. So at the last city council meeting, I was reading through the minutes of the meeting, and there were at least two people who talked about, there was some, I don't even remember what the topic was off the top of my head, if I think long and hard, figure it out, but there were two or three people who actually mentioned rural character and small town feel of North Bend. It was noted in the minutes. And to me, that means that there are still a lot of people in the city that think about North Bend that way, that care that North Bend is that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
There were those words, Piper, but they were reading directly from they were quoting the vision statement.
But in support of it.
Yeah.
I think I was one of those that gave comments.
Oh, awesome.
I did use that word. And mm-hmm. I did not use it in meaning agriculturally rural, but in contrast to suburbia
or
city either.
That's
one.
Kind of how I think about it. It's
so
not.
I think it's an appropriate word to use because it distinguishes us from, say, areas in the valley that have moved away from that, such as on Snoqualmie Parkway. That mm-hmm. would not be considered rural, even though it's very beautiful in the way mm-hmm. they've mm-hmm. constructed it. Mm-hmm. It would not strike you as rural.
Right.
So here's my gut. If we're going to start wordsmithing this document, it starts to beg of a longer, more open process in that we get the sort of feedback from the community that was done, whether or not through this particular type of an action or not. It's asking for something a la the session that mm-hmm. was referred to on the downtown statement. If that's where you want to go, that's a whole other thing, and that's definitely not in our work plan on this year. It's not in our agenda, and so you need to tell us that that's where you think it should go.
No, the rural was the only word that I was questioning. I think the other words, I feel like they reflect North Bend's character as I know it.
I mean, I felt like when I read through this, that this really, like without even knowing this some of these specific words, that when we have our conversations about building, design, whatever they may be, I felt like, oh, I could probably, you know, check 55 things on this page because those are the thoughts and conversations that we had. So I don't feel like if we were to potentially put this in the front of that document, I don't think that it steers us in a bad way. But should probably be something that we revisit as a city at some point.
So just my two bits on this.
In agreement to what you said.
I just want to know how much do you think we would need for a study?
Time-wise?
No, cost-wise. Oh. What would the cost be in the city?
It would depend on the type of study you want to do and the engagement you want to do. But as I read this, I'll be honest, I kind of differ from Mike. I actually thought it fit our community well, and the reason why I thought the rural character didn't bother me at all is the word character. We're not saying it needs to be rural or it needs to maintain rural. We're saying we want to maintain that character. And to me, when I look over at Tollgate Farm and Meadowbrook Farm, and I know that development's going to happen out there, part of what our rural character is the open spaces we have actively went out and preserved and incorporated within our city limits. And that, to me, is what has maintained North Bend different than maybe, as you said, Snoqualmie Ridge or other areas like Sammamish. So I felt like rural character actually complemented that effort that we've been doing as a city and liked it.
Well, yeah, and I'm certainly of that mind, and as most of you know, I've referenced several phrases and paragraphs out of this at time to time as we've been looking at different proposals, such as narrow roads. I do think it is within my time here. I think North Bend has exemplified these things, and I think you know what we are collectively the Planning Commission certainly faced with, and staff's challenges as they bring things to us, and we collect public feedback is as we're developing that map and its UGA, and as we grow and as we absorb more lands and as they develop into housing or businesses or the various pieces of a community, it is that constant struggle that we are up against to try and preserve as best we can the flavor that's exhibited within this document. I think the town is doing a very good job in that in regard to trying to find that balance in and how it's writing its code. And I guess that was why the basis of me saying, I get why we want to get this out of the back of the document to the front, and I see where there might need to be a little bit of cleanup, such as just to make sure that it's referencing the appropriate, time of the document when it was generated. But
Rob, how do you see that traffic exemplifies the rural nature of the vision statement, the current traffic that we have and the patterns? Is that rural?
Well, the question as I hear it is one of are you stopping? Are you becoming static? Is that what we're talking about? Or are we talking about how do we best accommodate the growth that's going on? And that's what I'm expressing.
In a way that's rural.
I had a thought on that, and that was the component that I felt maybe was missing, because we were talking about character, enhancing the downtown, enhancing riverfront existing neighborhoods, but accommodating growth was not in there. And this is just for suggestion discussion, but at the end of the sentence, I wanted to suggest, while accommodating growth consistent with traditional small-town development patterns.
That sounds good.
So that would show that we still vision ourselves as rural character, and we want to grow in that way. We don't want to grow with big scale.
To tell me exactly where you're suggesting that might be?
At the end of the paragraph, so instead of ending at "in the community's gateways," you would continue, "while accommodating growth consistent with traditional small-town development patterns."
Why accommodating? Why that word?
Did you have a suggestion?
No, I'm just struggling with accommodating, which is the mandated requirements of growth, versus
you could say, well,
as a city, it would be something I think more citizens would be able to support.
While growing in consistent with traditional small town development patterns, would that be?
Or just permitting, or
ensuring future growth is, you know, part of
that
what
future growth aligns with a rural character.
I guess the overall thing that I'm hearing you express is just the notion that maybe the acknowledgement that we are growing is what's missing.
But again, I just want to go back to it is what it is. It's documented the way it is. Let's put it the way it is. And if we want to revisit it, that we do something to do that.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I come back to.
It's not hurting us.
Right.
Nothing in here is hurting us other than the fact that just stating simply that this visual preference survey was done at a certain date, you don't have context of it. But there's nothing in here that hurts anything that we've tried to achieve, at least for the almost 4 years that I've been participating in this. I think it's really
well, and I think your whole vision statement is around the growth of your community. So it could be redundant.
It's inherent
because you're visioning what you're going to be in the future, which includes where the word should say the vision is one of preservation, enhancement, and preservation and enhancement, those kind of align with existing elements.
Yes.
So the question would be, could you add a word there that showed that your vision is not just preservation enhancements of the existing, but also
compatible.
Future.
But then it goes on to say, the comprehensive plan presents the opportunity for the city of North Bend to achieve all of its desired goals and images,
mm-hmm.
which is contained within
mm-hmm.
the comprehensive plan,
mm-hmm.
all the goals and things that we're trying to achieve.
Well, I tend to lean towards what you're expressing, Piper, is that if we start tweaking it, then we blow it up, and you got to put it back together in a box. And, I mean, there's pieces of the vision which I think we have fully realized, and so you might want to say, well, that doesn't need to be there anymore. But yet it is the vision, and it is a reminder of why we have in place what we do, and should be a reminder as we review those pieces of code to make sure that we don't lose it. Again, I'm pretty comfortable where it is. Is that without compelling?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Gary?
Question? Comment?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, Randall again. Two questions. How many people live here in 1992 in the city?
Just a rough guess, 3,000.
Really? How many? What's the latest census?
Six.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. There's your answer.
In the city.
How many?
It's about 6,000.
6,000. Mm-hmm. So it's possibly double.
Mm-hmm.
So the comment is, I wouldn't change a thing until you had community input.
That's where I'm standing. I mean, it does address in here, adopt development design standards for new development.
You don't feel like you have anything to do with it. You know, they really have to look like Savannah Shoot or the Parkway than North Bend or Fall City or something.
Yeah.
Or Leavenworth.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Don Ross. These two concepts in the last 22 years have come to the fore, and that's walkability and sustainability. Those were words that 20 years ago, but they sure as heck are in the now.
There are a lot of people who care about that. Yeah, they should be. And I don't know if we're prepared to do that ourselves today.
Well, I think you're asking is what process do you feel that this warrants, this does not reflect the vision and we should embark into
it? It's not perfect as it is today, but it works for us today. But we should think about...
Are there improvements? The two words that you're using, absolutely, if I were left to write it, they would be appearing in some fashion in there. Can I read into the current statement accommodation for that expression? I can. I see it reflected in there. When we talk about walkability, the concept of pedestrian scale that's being spoken to, those sort
mechanisms
of those things are within there, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I guess, you know, what you said, I think, rang the most true with me is it's not hurting us. Mm-hmm. It's a good statement. It's guiding what we're doing. And at an appropriate time, the city should consider looking at another process. But I don't see that as needing to drive it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and kind of to chime in on what you said, is actually when you look at this, some of the things that you bring up, actually, because this is going to be the front basic page of a comp plan that has many, many elements. In those elements are what are the features that reflect, are, you know, basically come from this vision statement, which one of which is sustainability. Mm-hmm. One of which is our land use chapter, which talks about the walkability and what have you. So if we started trying to dial in on some of the details of walkability, are, you know, all of a sudden it's now the comp plan versus the vision statement. So I professionally and personally, you know, being involved in North Bend, I think the statement actually reflects well for what we have and where we're going. And then I think it also sets a good stage for the comp plan that follows. And the only thing that's missing in my mind is that vision of growth, but I think that is the actual purpose of your vision statement. What do you want to be in the future? What's your vision? Mm-hmm. So I think it's pretty mm-hmm. solid.
So I hear what everybody's saying, and I guess, you know, I can offer some anecdote evidence of why we all live here and why we don't live in Issaquah or Bellevue, or what we like about our community and why it is what it is. But I do think that we are falling short in our vision statement without anything if we care about sustainability. Where is the low impact development requirements or LEED standards for housing? Where can we take this into what is current in this, you know, decade? I think without holding at least some public sessions, whether they're work sessions, that we can have a more comprehensive vision that we go forward in our plan and our design standards for multifamily or for commercial buildings, I think it's going to matter a great deal in, you know, what we will stand behind as far as development standards in the future for the next 10 years. So,
thank you for the time.
Thank you. Gary, I'm not opposed to what you're suggesting at all. What I'm suggesting to staff is that's a pretty good rework and need done. So to clarify and make sure I understand, you know, if you're suggesting that we do go into that process, is coupled with that thought that we need to then stop action on the revisions to code that we're working on until we are convinced we've got the right vision for it?
I'd want to understand what would be a good thoughtful process for the vision statement, and you can't, in my mind, just put it out there with a quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. I think it should be thoughtful and done right. I have to go back to the calendar.
We are limited in the calendar for providing those amendments before June 2015, so this would not be able to hold up the rest of our amendments. We'd have to come back to it if we wanted to.
So we're going to critical areas or housing next?
Critical areas would be next.
Critical areas. No, I don't think it would impact critical areas, but you know, I don't know what your time is to do something with this either.
Well, from my perspective, the vision is meant to guide every one of those elements.
Yeah, that's kind of first step.
I'm on that fence. I get why.
I'm saying critical areas revision. Because if you're rural character in nature, you would be protective of the critical areas in my mind.
But is that going to necessarily come out of the next vision if we're opening it up?
That's true. I mean,
like one of the members of our, I can't remember who it was, that said it, we could open Pandora's box and they say we want a Walmart and we want a Costco.
Yeah.
And we want.
Yeah.
Well, let me, do you mind if I, because I, sure. I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking workload and because what I think what you're saying is, yes, this is your vision statement for your 20-year vision of your city. If we're going to make the changes, you're right, the best way to do it is to embark on a visioning exercise that would engage the community. I think where I was is if we do that, we do have to reorient our schedule. And then we're a little bit, you know, we're going to have to put our minds around that because, we have the deadline. So I think that's where I kind of came back to. When I read this, I thought, you're right, sustainability. That's a big part of how we need to grow in the future to accommodate future generations. Could that word be in there? Yes. You know, but to me, the word enhancement is, you know, sustainability is a buzzword now, but enhancement is enhancing through the test of time, through... You know, so I really felt that this set the stage well for everything else we needed to do without getting into the buzzwords of today.
Yep.
Preservation and enhancement, you know.
And I mean, just think back to all the work that we did on our sustainability plan without this very specific thing sitting in front of us. And I think we went leaps and bounds beyond what anybody could imagine that we could do just based on, you know, feedback from the community, which, you know, even tonight, if you sit in our next topic, this is not something that fits our vision statement. Like, this is really hard to jam into our vision statement because it's not a concept that existed when this was put together, as sustainability wasn't. And so, again, I don't think this hurts us in doing anything that we've done so far or what we need to do in the next 6 to 9 months, but probably within that time, as we start thinking about the future things that we're going to do, this is probably something that, because of all the growth that's happened, you know, there's a lot of new people who have moved here, and there's going to be more because we keep building, and what do they think? It's 1,000 people since I joined.
Are you comfortable with us moving forward on our planned workload and just with the suggestion to staff that they ought to explore the appropriate time to?
That is absolutely what is on my mind, is to continue on our process but have this run to track if possible, or consider it to do so.
We honestly don't have time this year, but it's something that maybe in the future year, I think a visioning exercise or just at least a kind of community survey of what is important to you is always good to come back to every couple of years.
Well, I mean, that being said,
I want to clarify here, what I was suggesting was not concurrency. It was just to ask staff to look at the future calendar and look at is this an appropriate activity for down the road. This is a 6 month long process, and so I don't see that being accommodated within what we're doing. My comfort level with what we've got says we should move forward, but I mean, I get it. Our first responsibility should be, it's not about the schedule, it's not about our deadline, it's about getting it right.
Yeah.
And if I felt that this was really not right, I'd be right there saying, stop and we, let's go.
I want to be clear. I'm not saying it's not a great vision for the city. I'm not saying it's a valid vision for the city. I just don't know if it is tested with the other 3,000 new residents.
Sure.
And that would be something mindful to do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That our schedule is booked from here until mid-2015 with comprehensive plan reading. It's, you know.
Yeah. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take this back? This was my fear, because the, the vision statement is what sets the stage for your comp plan. Let's take this back. I mean, I felt that it said, I've said what I felt, but what we could do is try to strategize ways to engage the community maybe on a survey basis, where you, you know, or something along the lines.
If you start down that path, we're going down that path. So I think where my head was more leaning is more in somewhat express it here, the every couple of years idea is that instead of us trying to squeeze it in, or instead of us trying to set aside something else and do this, is to just, my feedback would be is that staff ought to be stepping up another 10,000 feet and just saying, what's the appropriate rhythm for reviewing of this plan, just as we have a rhythm for review of the rest of the code. So if we've got, you know, I suppose I would be saying, I hope we don't delay the look of testing out the vision through an appropriate public process until the next time we're looking at required code update. However,
you're talking code or comp plan?
Comp plan update. Right. So we're at 7-year cycle. I don't want to 7 years from now say, oh, that's right, we never looked at the vision statement again. Gee, what do we want to do? Oh, well, now we've got this deadline in front of us. So let's not go there.
Well, and
what would be, what would, you know, if it is consistent with comp plan on that sort of a cycle, then that ought to, then a time period for the visioning, retesting the visioning, ought to be built into the schedule down the road.
And I think that's where I don't want you to not revisit your vision statement because there's a deadline. So if you felt like you needed to do that, we have to talk about that. Where I was kind of coming back to is I believed after reading this, and I spent a lot of time thinking about it, I thought we could spend about 5 to 6 months working on this. We might add a word or two, but in the end, I think this actually reflects it, and that's more my point is, what's your best bang for your buck for time? And I really thought your vision statement was pretty spot on, other than you could maybe improve it slightly, but I didn't think it would make that big a difference in what we come up with, because this. So that's where I was. I thought, actually, these guys in 1992 did pretty well. I'm still behind them.
I want to add to that. I don't want to give the wrong impression that in some of the wordsmithing I was suggesting that I felt like it was out of context or not the right direction. I firmly agree that this really synthesizes what I understand is North Bend's context.
So since there's not a particular action, the only place to either go with this is to end the conversation or ask for a particular action.
I have no action to ask for. I'm fine to close the discussion.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm good.
All right, let's move on.
Nice.
Let's talk about the most exciting thing on the agenda. Well, that's not true.
Another exciting.
Marijuana zoning regulations, planning commission deliberation, possible recommendation. Megan, you've been just dying to talk to us all evening.
I'll do a little up-to-speed note for those of you who haven't been here for the last couple of meetings. The draft regulations that you see in front of you are staff's interpretation and recommendation based on, this is maybe our fourth or fifth meeting together talking about it, interpreting what it is that the state laws are and how can we best address those here in North Bend. And so today we're going to discuss the ordinance and hopefully make a recommendation if we can.
Before we start into that, then, with our remaining, we've got quite an attrition going on here, with our remaining public, do any of you wish to speak on this issue? No? No. All right. Thank you. Okay. How do you want to go through? So I don't want to really go word for word.
Well, you had, I know there were some questions about what is North Bend's additions to the state regulations, because a lot of this does reflect state law. And if you want, I can point those out.
We could.
I just have one question, honestly. When you mentioned that there are new regulations, I didn't find a reference to the date, the new sections that you included in the machine code, or it's just titled new section. And that's what I was just wondering, because Child Care Center was added in, or
talking about page 9,
page 1, after staff, it's on page 1 of the marijuana license application process requirements and reporting. That's the Washington Code section.
I didn't hear your page.
Page one of the Washington Code.
Oh, okay. Right. In the definitions,
yes.
And areas you were saying that was.
So, I'm just wondering, is this a new section that's just published, or is?
It's just for your reference.
Okay.
It's
no, this was that's
it's
not going to be for reference. Yeah, I didn't read through.
Well, I thought what initially where I thought you were going, which initially threw me, was on page 9. There's a handwritten note that said, "See revised rule language." And then but I read through it, and I said, well, there's nothing different there. So I was a little confused by that initially.
I wrote that in because, are you talking about this highlighted
section?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There was a revised rule to how that was measured. Wanted to make sure that
okay.
It was exactly.
Well, I kind of, all right, that was the piece of measurement. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So before you go where I was suggesting and asking is that, so I wanted to share and kind of get your feel for kind of the overall approach to the section. In one sense, we've got just the exact zoning piece where for different types and what we want to do about that. And then the other is around the performance standards and the requirements. As I read through, which is what led me to the email that I sent to Megan and copied you on, which was, we've got a lot of language in here which is just duplicating the WAC. And my inclination was that to the largest degree possible, we should more reference the WAC instead of repeating it.
Right.
While I could understand that there may be particular pieces we'd want to pull in for either ease or clarification, that instead of having it in two places, that might be a better route to go. And as I was doing the research, I was actually looking at several of our other code sections, particularly 18 areas, and I found many instances where essentially the entire code was see RCW so-and-so, right? I don't know that we want to go quite that far, right? But that was kind of what was governing that question.
So that's an interesting perspective. I think when I went through this, I found that there were a couple things that to me, like I'll just call it one example. There's a note of, oh, but it can't be a home occupation business. And so then it reminded me of the, we have stuff over here, we have stuff over here, we have stuff over here. So if we change it, then we have to, it's in 14 different places. And so I was like, oh, so are we going to get ourselves in a pickle again? Where we mention it here, and then it's excluded or included somewhere else, and so.
So we identified only in industrial zones, and it took that.
Well, I think in reference, you're on page 4.
Right, bottom of page 4.
I read that as well, and actually, there was one spot. Well, the first sentence. Is actually out of the WAC, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right, which I didn't at first identify.
and it's the second sentence is particular to us, is that right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, so this is referencing where we already do
prohibited.
Okay. All right.
And that's the exact language in your
Okay. I just was trying to protect the
I was just happy, and I agree with your science and advertising and also the visibility of activities and the control of emissions and odors. Something.
Oh, are you on a particular page?
8 and 9 of the ordinance.
Should we just go through this page by page? Because
sure.
I see you have stuff, and
sure.
You've already bounced past where I had made a note of something.
Let's one is just the step.
Yep.
Right.
Good with that.
Go to page 2 of the actual ordinance language. Are you okay with that, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing I caught was we went from A to C.
Mm-hmm. What? That
oh, good catch.
Imagine me catching that.
That's usually my thing. Sorry about
yeah,
that.
I wanted to preempt you. Then in the third line of C, nor otherwise permit any for activity. I don't know what was actually trying to be said there, but I doubt it was that.
Any activity
on the third line, Substances Act, Parents mm-hmm. Chapter, blah, 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 nor to otherwise permit any, and the number 4 is in there. I don't know if
that
that's just
been
a straight 4.
A hit on the... yeah.
Okay.
Too many hours on the computer.
Too many fingers.
Thank you very much.
I don't really remember why I circled this at this time, but a little further down in that paragraph, sentence begins, nothing in this ordinance shall be construed to supersede legislation prohibiting persons from engaging in conduct that endangers others or that creates a nuisance as defined herein. What is that trying to say?
A lot of the basis of this ordinance, it was recommended by the AWC, and so that's just
by whom?
The Association of Washington Cities.
Oh.
And so that was some language that was we proposed that you add in.
Okay.
We certainly don't necessarily have to put it in there. Nothing in this ordinance shall be construed to supersede legislation prohibiting persons from engaging in the conduct that endangers others. That we may not necessarily need that.
Maybe it's just kind of referring if you're driving while stoned, this isn't.
It's not
that.
Promoting that.
I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, there were things like this that I read too, and I was like, so why do we have to have this in here if it's part of the state law anyway, so to me I would say...
Well, I think here you're saying this isn't state law, right?
Right.
This was just a recommendation
yeah.
from the
what
city
we did,
association.
But we're saying it shouldn't supersede.
It's kind of
extra
a
words.
Catch-all in the realm of mm-hmm. just making sure it's clear that all the other rules still apply. If,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessary. Either. If you have a strong feeling that it doesn't...
I didn't really come in with a strong feeling one way or the other, just that I can't even interpret what it's supposed to tell me, and so if I can't even understand it to a degree, it seems to say, why is it there? That's my only, and maybe it's just you
it's
know, my own brain
clarity.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the following sentence, the last sentence, you know, that nothing is to be interpreted, you know, incompatible with federal and state enactments. I get that.
That seems like it would cover that, too.
Yeah. Right. It's almost as...
I think it's more of a warm and fuzzy.
Seems like it does.
Yeah.
So it sounds
so
like
take
we
that
say,
out.
Can
take
explain
it,
it
out.
Straight
I
the nothing
take
sense.
It out. Nothing,
okay.
Blah, blah, blah. And is it really correct to say it's the intention of the city council?
It should be city. Yeah.
Yeah.
This, we used a model ordinance. And
yeah, that's fine. Or can it just be as simple as, is the intention of this ordinance to be interpreted compatible? Like, why does it have to say the intention of the city?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the intention of this ordinance be interpreted to be.
I would agree with that.
And it's actually going to be chapter, not ordinance, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Chapter. Okay. So I now read that sentence as it is the intention of this chapter to be interpreted to be compatible.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes a lot more sense.
My next one comes in the next section, 1860.02.0 definitions.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, after it says definitions in this section apply throughout the chapter, dot, 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 why don't we stop right there?
You're not including the city also adopts?
Every one of A through whatever is a definition right out of the WAC.
Are there other definitions in the WAC that aren't in here?
I looked. I did not myself spot one, with the possible exception of N, which seemed to be actually part of M, but I wasn't sure if it was intended to be separate.
Well, that kind of, that is, we could do that, assuming we don't, if we have additional definitions that come out of this process, we should say, and as adopted, and then maybe just have ours.
So that's what I was looking for. I was trying to say, well, where are the ones that we specifically added if we did? Mm-hmm. And I found that I didn't find any.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
From a usability standpoint.
Simple.
If it's simple enough, I like to just have it in front of me and not go somewhere else.
See, what we're talking about is usability of the code.
Right.
This one's a new chapter, so even though it's redundant to when you're dealing with somebody in your office and the word batch is used and it's right there in your code, otherwise we don't have the WAC at hand. We have to go to the computer, print it, you know. So it's somewhat of a usability, but either way.
Well, I thought you might say that.
Yeah.
I didn't come in feeling strong. It's a question.
Yeah.
I repeat what's already there. It's a lot of words and spaces.
It is, yeah.
And why...
I don't know.
I think
I'm going
it's
going to
keep it in here. I find it helpful.
Yeah, I kind of thought so for
do
the
these,
first
do
year
these
or two. Will this use is just kind of coming?
What are the that'd be one thing. Is legislature may update any one of these at any time, right? Or alcohol board, right?
I read that, though, that these are more the city definitions, and they also adopt the definitions of WAC and RCW. Is that not the way it reads right now?
Are these not identical to the WAC?
They are identical, but I think we're just saying for future.
You're covered because you heard that we adopted everything in the code of RCW, but also we have this, as the city standard. Whether the same, it doesn't matter. That this is what is our definition.
Well, being devil's advocate, then that would mean that perhaps on day two, you have two definitions of applicant.
Mm-hmm.
State changes the definition by a word, and we've adopted this one. So now I've got two definitions for applicant.
Now we get ourselves in a pickle.
You know what, you guys? May I pipe in? I would let us actually talk. I kind of want to ask our legal team what would be the best way, because you're right.
Mm-hmm.
When WAC
these
adopts,
words
these
are going to kill us.
So it might be just better to say this is what the city adopts as our, and then we monitor when there's updates, then we can bring it to you if we feel it's necessary. Mm-hmm. Or we say, we adopt the WAC and any amendments to the WAC, and the following additional.
Yep.
So that's more of a structure thing. So unless,
that's
just
where
something.
It was there. Jumped before I've got a question. Well, I've got a concern.
Okay.
So the last definition here, W, defines what a unit is. And then below in the following section, 030, B, in that sentence, say, and actually, which is the one out of the WAC, right? It says, any residential unit in the city. Well, that's a different meaning of the word unit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dwelling unit.
Good catch.
Residential unit.
residentially, individually packaged.
Because they're talking about marijuana units.
That's what they all are. They're just residential units.
They're just, yeah, residential units.
That's funny. That is really funny.
Well, I'm sure we've got, I imagine our code is
limited to
that.
We're screwed by the definition
of the state.
Call it residential dwelling.
Yeah, dwelling. Got it.
Could you also amend,
I thought you'd go there.
Huh.
Could you also amend definition for W unit as defined in this chapter only to mean? So that way throughout the code where you say dwelling unit or housing unit, it's not going to...
It is only in this section because otherwise we put it in 1806, which is our big definition section.
Oh.
And this is 1860, so it does that naturally.
Okay. We've done on the fourth.
My other comment here was just in relationship to the same one, which is, again, in 030, we go from talking about the WAC to listing it all out. So if that makes sense to the rest of you, I'm fine with it. It's just repetitious.
Page 5, can we just put a legend on the little pretty picture?
Date,
just so that we know that the gray box is where the marijuana producer processors are allowed. Same with the table on 6. And did you have anything else on that one, on that page, Rob? So on 6, in the description, it says, retail establishments may locate within the interchange commercial zones located at exit 31 I-90 interchange at Bendigo, instead of located the exit.
Yep.
So just at exit.
And the same label and date.
Same label and date, you know, little purple box of what it is. So, how does the Centritel decision impact this? Since
it's out of the purple area.
Is it outside of that area?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, so there won't be any.
This is IC versus IMU.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right. I just wanted to make sure I. I had some confusing things on 7. So the first sentence, a marijuana producer license allows a licensee to produce marijuana for sale at wholesale to marijuana processor licenses and other marijuana producer licenses. So when I first read that sentence, it just sounds like a really bad sentence. So, so I was just like, what is this saying? For sale, at wholesale, to, and I was like, are we talking, is this price? So I didn't know if just making it wholesale to colon and then what the two things are, like, makes it super clear what we're trying to say.
Produce marijuana for wholesale, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for wholesale, yeah.
Megan, is this language out of the whack?
It's exactly.
Is it really? Oh my gosh, I've read it 4 times.
That's my point.
Why, no, like,
it was written by a lawyer.
Yeah, no, and then, marijuana production must take place within a fully enclosed, secure indoor facility or greenhouse with rigid walls, a roof, and doors. But then later it says, so it says it has to be indoors, right? Fully enclosed, secure indoor facility.
Sounds like, doesn't it?
But then in C, outdoor production shall be fully enclosed in a non-rigid greenhouse. So I was like, so is it duplicate or?
Well, and what I wanted to understand within C is, can you help me understand what an outdoor production facility is that shall not be in the open or cleared ground or field? I can't even picture what that would be. I mean, just again, am I brain dead? What's
so this is wording from
depending on what we're trying to talk about. What Rob is trying to talk about is the second part of C.
Okay.
Outdoor production shall not be allowed in an open,
right,
cleared ground or field. Like, that was language we added in.
Oh, I see.
To not have essentially like a grow operation, field, a farm of crops that you can see as you're driving down
well,
the road.
According to A, you can't do that anyways. Marijuana production must take place within a fully enclosed, secure indoor facility or in a greenhouse with rigid walls or roof and doors. So you wouldn't, it wouldn't be in an open or cleared ground field, right?
No, that...
I don't remember us adding an outdoor
must take place
open and cleared field.
Well, I guess the question is if C and therefore D and E, which are all
talking about
outdoors, if those were all city ads, not part of the WAC, then the first question would be: is are we interested in allowing an outdoor production versus indoor?
Well, hold on, Megan. The outdoor production, we that was in our ads. The C, D, and E, or was it?
The highlight is what I believe that we added.
Yeah, okay.
So the second part of C, and I can double check that.
Okay. So maybe you can talk a little bit about the state regs on the outdoor production.
Mm-hmm. So from my understanding, I can double check that again, outdoor production is allowed, but you have to have, it has to be
enclosed
by an 8-foot wall. So essentially you can have outdoors production.
Okay.
And so the purpose of adding that second part to C, we felt that North Bend would not necessarily promote that. So that's what that language is adding.
Let's talk about C because I think C's the second sentence we can delete because the first sentence basically says it's in a greenhouse.
The broader question is:
do we want
conflict
to?
It's a total conflict with the last sentence of A.
Yeah.
I mean, fully enclosed.
Okay. Why don't we do a little more research on the outdoor production rules because that's what I'm actually a little fuzzy on. I can't remember what those were. So let's bring that back to you guys, and because we don't have those answers right now.
Yes. So if you do believe though that the WAC is allowing outdoor,
with certain fencing and security,
right,
yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Versus the way that it's actually stated, which makes me question is that last sentence of A part of the WAC because then they're whacked.
Right.
And then I guess it goes to, in this particular instance, we can be more restrictive, and so if we're not open to it being produced in an outdoor facility, we can strike all of those.
Wait, Megan, yeah. I think you got it.
Okay. So after...
I'm fine.
What's the page?
Maybe one thing that we could add to be a missing piece to A that should be in here. So after marijuana production must take place within a fully enclosed structure, indoor facility or greenhouse within rigid walls, a roof, or doors. Outdoor production may take place in non-rigid greenhouses, other structures, or an expanse of open or cleared ground fully enclosed by a physical barrier.
Is the entire paragraph in the WAC?
Yes.
And so our change
and
was...
you split it up.
Yes.
Our change was the outdoor production shall not happen. So we changed it from may... How did it say that last sentence, the outdoor production part?
Outdoor production may take place in non-rigid greenhouses, other structures, or an expanse of open or cleared ground fully enclosed by a physical barrier.
Right. So it says or in open expanse, and we said shall not be in that. So you wouldn't drive down the road and see it even, you know.
So I guess we need to decide, do we want it outside or not? So that we can decide.
I'm fine with leaving it to the Washington Code because if any farmer comes to North Bend and they're not aware of the elk, then they should.
True, but I mean,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, just
exactly.
I just want to be sure. Effectively, you added at least C. You modified A from the full WAC wording, and added C with the intent of that we would not allow outdoor. Mm-hmm. So that's the first question, which goes back to yours, which is why not just stay with the WAC?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would make it into motion.
I don't even know if we'll need to go there.
I don't think we need to.
The question would be, because you'd want to add the original language that was a part of A and strike C.
Because in their outdoor state, it's still enclosed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
If we wanted something in particular, which you said, not fencing, right? Where can it be offensively?
Yeah, shall be enclosed by a side of street.
So we're going back to the WAC. Okay.
All right. So
the WAC, which goes on in A, and then strikes C in its entirety.
Correct.
And then D and E still apply. Those are particular requirements on how to do it outdoors.
Correct.
So mm-hmm. Feel right.
Can we just change some wording on D? Outdoor production shall be enclosed by. Enclosed by a minimum 8-foot site obscure wall or fence. Because of a site obscure wall or a fence at least 8 feet high. So the obscure wall has to be a minimum of 8 feet tall.
Yeah, bring the 8 up front.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Well, it depends if you want to stick with the whack or not.
Yeah. I think because you're enclosed by a wall or a fence, the requirement of which is 8 feet high.
Yeah.
I think it's written properly.
Yeah,
I actually agree with that.
I'm going to have to call my English mother. English teacher mother. All right. So B, so tier 3 just popped in here, and there was no definition of tier 3. So, yeah, but I'm talking about up here, there was no. So I didn't know if that felt funny. I just noted it. But.
Oh, I thought we talked about that in the definitions where there were the. We were wondering about what the maximum production size was. Is that those are the tiers, right?
Yeah, which is listed here. So, okay.
We didn't define it earlier.
So
it isn't defined earlier in this ordinance. We did talk about it at other meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Could potentially move that to the end if you think that that's
to the definition.
Well, I think where the question came up first was that because it referenced 2 million square feet. And then these tiers, and there was confusion. Well, what is that? And which I think you've covered here in F. Mm-hmm. I guess my question would be: shouldn't F be the lead of this piece?
Right. And then put.
So now we know what we're talking about.
You mean F would become A?
Yes.
I would think it would come B because you're defining the producer in A.
Yeah. So you could it could be B, and then
that's B.
Right. And then what is now B becomes C, mm-hmm. which already defining that we're not allowing that.
That we're not allowing it, yeah. The other question I have in F is, so the maximum amount of space for marijuana production limited to 2 million square feet. Applicants must designate on their operating plan the size category of the production premises and the amount of actual square footage in their premises that will be designated as plant canopy. That just feels really operational and not a standard. It's like when
isn't the allowable, which was one of my questions as well, is the allowable square foot around the canopy of the plants or the overall facility?
It's overall.
For the WAC. Is the WAC
is
the WAC addressing the canopy? The growing, or is it defining the building size? Because I see us confusing the two. Mm-hmm. It looks to me like we're defining the total size of the building, which is more in keeping with what we typically define mm-hmm. building size.
I thought it was everything. It's everything. Plant canopy and building.
For us or the WAC? The WAC
says. The WAC. And this in now B, but F.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the what's the trigger? What's being triggered by defining the plant canopy?
Mm-hmm.
is, or whichever is greater. Whichever is
Two million. It's odd because they say 2 million square feet, and they don't say plant canopy.
Right.
I think we need to. Oh, good. Go ahead.
Well, the way I interpret it, and from what we got confirmed from the Liquor Control Board, was you have your total square footage, including your building, and then you have your square footage of the canopy. And then whatever that square footage of the canopy is, that's what they're adding into that 2 million figure for statewide. Is that what your question? Am I interpreting your question correctly?
So, well, it's a plant. It is a canopy of plants.
Right.
Okay, but then what is the relationship between that and the tiers that we're defining? Are those defined canopy or defined building?
They're referring to.
I think they're referring to plant canopy. Canopy, right. Yeah, and but we need to clarify.
Yeah, that needs to be clarified.
Yep. It appears there's a wrong at the end of E. There's a semicolon instead of a period.
No.
In fact, the question would be, I believe the way that these should read is they should all be semicolons until you get to the end.
Yeah.
Right. So
that actually means D should be a semicolon.
Yep.
And then whatever is the last one would end in a period.
Right.
Yep.
Although that would have to be the same then for all other
processes. So when you're clearing that canopy thing
up, clear that up,
where it then also applies is when you get into the processor C, we're then referencing 10,000 square foot.
Yeah, I get confused by that.
Mm-hmm.
So
can we take care of that by just removing tier 3 from B? And just saying producer licenses for facilities, building facilities of 10,000 square feet is prohibited or no?
Well, we still need to know whether we're defining the canopy or the building.
I mean, if it's inside the building, it's the building. I think if it's out exterior, it's the plant. But in the end, it's the plant canopy, whether it's in the building or not. It's my thought.
But field versus inside a building.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. But.
I just wasn't sure if there was something that was saying, okay, I've got a 10,000 square foot building and 8,000 of it is plant canopy, I'm good, or I could have a 12,000 square foot building and 10,000 of it can be canopy.
Yeah, we need to clarify that.
Okay.
If I think about it from a business, and I can only afford to make it 8,000 square foot and canopy, and eventually get up to 10,000.
So under processor A, there's the second sentence. I do not know what the sentence says. A marijuana processor is allowed to blend tested usable marijuana from multiple lots into a single package for sale to a marijuana retail licensee, providing label requirements for each lot. Uses in the blend or met. That makes no sense.
It's the Maui and the something variety that they package together.
No,
it's
I get what
uses. It's uses.
Uses.
Different.
Providing the label requirements for each lot.
Maybe it's used in the blend.
Used in the blend are met, and the percentage by that should be used in the blend are met. The requirements for each lot are
is this language
used in the blend
or
met.
It is. I was checking to make sure it wasn't copied. To blend tested usable marijuana from multiple lots in a single package for sale to a marijuana retail license, providing the label requirements for each lot used in blending. Yep.
Used in the blend. Okay, awesome.
Way to go, Piper. You got one.
Okay. I was like, oh, what's this say? I tried it. You made it easy, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
confused.
All right, I'll be there.
Okay, I'm going to assume this is okay. We're on the next page.
Eight?
Yeah.
Mine is the last piece under retail D, talking about sampling and consuming, et cetera. Is that consistent? I believe it is consistent with tobacco and alcohol regulations. I would assume.
Yeah, because you can do wine tastings. And
I think we're about to have a tasting room open here. I don't know what our rules say, but how are we why are we treating it differently than alcohol?
Well,
the state won't. Well, yeah,
okay, that is state WAC. Mm-hmm. So again, it went too well.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we are.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't have anything until the sign and advertising section.
The last sentence on 040B, so the last sentence right above the signs piece, the wording didn't quite feel right to me, but I wasn't quite sure.
No conditional use permit.
May be issued
unless the city issues a business license for the recreation. That's what it should be. May be issued. Right? Because we don't want to do a conditional use permit. Until they have a business license for...
This is stock standard language, right?
Really?
Yeah.
No conditional use permit may...
We've taken out all conditional use permits.
It's all issued unless the city issues a business license.
I mean, I understood the intent. It just read funny to me.
May issue. Yeah. No conditional use permit. May issue.
That seems like an odd, because we wouldn't issue a...
It seems like this was something, and then it got cut. And
let us look into that one a little bit.
We're all right.
It's not okay.
It seems backwards.
I have something on 3 under 050. Do you have anything before that? So, illumination is prohibited of the sign. So was that our choice? So why would we not want to illuminate a sign so that people are aware?
I'll suggest even simpler. Mm-hmm. I don't think this should be here at all. I think it should be purely our sign code.
Our sign
as
code,
it is.
Yeah.
Why are we doing something different?
I'll answer that one. Yeah, our sign code needs some
love and
care. Our sign code is pretty, needs in major need of updating. Needs love and care. Let's say retail we're allowing in the IC zone. So let me just kind of pull up what signage would be allowed.
Totally know where you're going. Why are we treating this business different than any other retail business in the city?
Well, I think what we're wanting to do is get the sign code amended so we don't have some of the...
Great. Let's go amend the sign
code.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's not do it here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anybody disagree?
I don't
disagree. I totally agree.
That's,
I was just like, why?
Not gonna fly, Jen.
Oh, no, that's fine.
We're not beating you.
The only thing I want you guys to know is that if a monument goes in, it can be 10 feet tall. That's why that would be your biggest monument sign, and it might have a big green cross on it, and it would really define the character. And so I just want you to know that that might happen, and if you want to go with that, because it could be a very...
Or they could do one with a big tattoo
exactly.
on it, or they can do one with a big alcohol bottle.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
The sign code is outdated, needs updated.
Yeah.
Bring it to us.
All right.
But don't get it here.
So that means that all 1, 2, 3, and 4 go away. Because it's going to align to...
It's governed by 1820.
I have to look, but they do limit the size.
Right. I believe I have the right reference. 1820 is our sign code.
Okay, Megan said we will be bringing back what the state has for its sign.
I saw the state whack, and it seemed to me to be...
Yeah.
What page is that on? Just so I can glance real quick.
8.
Oh, this sign. We don't...
Oh, sorry. Okay, never mind. I thought you had it in front of me. That's fine. Okay, I'm good until 080B.
Or yeah, I'm at 070 at the bottom.
Oh, okay, go ahead, your first time.
Report of disturbances and unlawful activity. Is this SWAC language again?
Where are you?
070.
Report of disturbances.
Report from disturbances mm-hmm. and unlawful activity. Is this straight out of whack?
Mm-hmm. Except for the warning part.
Oh yeah, right. It's there.
Well, is the warning sans our specific name? Is that whack language?
What part? What
well, I'm looking at everything in 070,
everything
and I'm asking, is this all whack?
Not word for word, but it's interpreted from the whack language from the training. What they're required to do.
From the model ordinance?
Yes.
From the model ordinance or from the WAC?
Do you recall the section in the WAC, though, Megan, so we can just compare?
There's a whole section on security.
Yeah.
Which is what this is in WAC.
I read that section on security. I didn't find this. And I'll tell you right where I'm going. Is this a very similar requirement in the way we control alcohol, which is governed by the same commission?
I got to reread security. Megan, do you know where I can point me quickly to the security part?
I think it's in the beginning, right after they define producer processor and get you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can find a change for you.
Let's see here.
Is where part of it begins, and we talk about security requirements for marijuana licenses. We talk about the alarm system, the surveillance system, traceability.
Yep. I see cameras. I saw, you know, all about the surveillance system, alarm systems, identifying badges, traceability, all things that I think are incredibly important and appropriate.
Yep.
I see nothing about it's my responsibility to call if I observe some action.
Let's look into that. Was that, did that come from our Kenyon's office? Do you know?
They're reviewing this right now. They're reviewing that.
So one. This is not Kenyon's
office?
Yes, yes.
It would have been nice to have them review it before it came to us.
They've been involved the whole time.
There is more than just that one section on security.
Okay, so we need to come back to that then. Mm-hmm. Sounds like. Awesome.
Unfortunately, it's spread out.
We'll come back to that because I totally agree with you on. Just, so if it is WAC,
if it's part of the WAC, I walk
right.
away. If it's not, I'd say strike it.
Yep. Come back. Okay.
I'll look for it.
Okay. So 080 item B. No recreational marijuana or paraphernalia shall be displayed or kept in a business so as to be visible from outside the licensed premises. So a retail store that's going to be in, because isn't the outlet mall one of the options? That's so what would that store look like with no windows?
It would look like a red light district.
This is whack.
It is?
And that's why all of them you don't see inside the buildings when you go buy one, if you've been by one.
Okay.
Which I've, there, you know, there's a few up on Renton Islands, and I've definitely seen them, and they're all.
Is the interior of the building not considered public space, if even though it's open to the public? If I'm in a retail establishment, is that, that's private?
21 and over.
I'm not asking about that right now. Just
the internal space?
Well, so A is talking about none of these things shall go on shall be conducted out of the public view.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, well.
Oh.
I would think that would refer to outside of the building.
I assume that was the intent. I just wasn't sure if inside, if I'm inside QSC, am I in the public view or am I in the private space?
Oh, right, because you're already physically in the building, yeah.
But I treat a marijuana retailer with the restriction of 21 and over as not the same public class.
But if you, like, a wine store or a liquor store can have a beautiful window display.
Well, that's a different question.
Well, then if it's the whack, question. I mean, walk so, away, but it just...
Yeah, this just seems so arrogant to me.
I think Megan's right. But if you're inside the store, mm-hmm. you're there for that purpose. This is out of that public view from a public realm.
So then this presents, now that I'm thinking about it in this different way now, would the outlet mall even allow someone to have a storefront?
That would be their choice. They all building managers, business managers get to choose.
Okay.
Their tenant.
All right. That's just that. This is really weird.
OEDO, all the language here is whack.
Below which part? The 8?
In all.
OEDO, yeah. A, B, and C.
Yes.
A, B, C, all the way.
Interesting.
Okay.
I'll confirm that next week to make sure.
Okay. I wasn't sure C was, that's why.
I don't have anything else.
I love the last piece, adoption by reference. That was great.
That could be the whole chapter.
Check. I like that. Check.
Should have been the start, man.
It could have been, yes.
Okay, so we have right.
So it sounds like we have some cleanup.
We've got a lot of cleanup and editing. Let's go to the broader picture of are we comfortable with the zoning and the overall language? What do you think?
I'm not sure how critical knowing the canopy coverage requirement versus building coverage is to the overall structure of the code. I think it's more of a definition. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with your point that we ought to align with the WAC as much as possible. One, I think it's less risk to the city. It's a lot more in line with, I think. But other than that, I don't have any other reservations. I guess I don't really have a reason not to.
Okay. You're comfortable with the proposed zones? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If this is our start, this is our opening. It's a pretty conservative start. So that's good.
I felt like it was a nice balance of not all the possibilities, but like here are some possibilities. So it was like a nice balance of not being, it's a good balance.
We're putting our feet and ankles in.
Yes. We're not being completely scared. Just, you know.
So what I'm hearing is the presumption that when this comes back cleaned up to us and with those questions mm-hmm. answered, we should be able to pass it at the next meeting.
Yeah, it should be pretty easy.
Okay, great. Which, sounds
pretty much what I expected we could have done on night one.
Yeah.
All right. It's well, exactly we'll bring it back.
It hasn't really changed that much. Yeah, it's just now getting the words to be understandable by a normal human being. Instead of the crazy words that they use are so bizarre.
Okay. Moving on. Anything before we adjourn?
Please?
Just for
the health, and I mean this with the utmost respect for the potential health of our meetings. As we've been here, we so much appreciate the opportunity to speak, but both of members from the public, we don't have any paperwork, so if there's something we need to do as a public member to get paperwork, mm-hmm. like that would be a good instruction.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be honest. I agree with that. You can always come to our office prior to a meeting to get anything, but we will bring additional copies, and I think we're going to just have to start using projector for, like, the vision statement and everything. So I think we're going to just up it a little bit in the presentation.
Well, the other one would be is that aren't these agenda packets on our website?
They are.
Yeah, there's multiple ways to get a hold of the paperwork prior to the meeting.
Yeah. But it's still, I show up at council and I have the same thing. If all the packets have been gone, I'm going,
dang it.
Absolutely. And yeah. I understand the paper issue. I've been here where there's 8 extra packets. And you're like, yes, sit here by myself.
Yeah.
Today there was 8 extra people.
Right.
That's why the projecting it, I think, is the best way to do it.
Yeah, because it helps us participate. I mean, we did all talk a lot. This was informal, light, but
Travis, you ought to subscribe to the announcements.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you should.
Which is the best thing.
And then you get
comes
email
to you.
To you.
It actually comes an email, the whole package.
And then you drown.
For information. I just want to be informed. Yeah. And when this gentleman here, he's very brilliant. He's talked numerous times. And I just know that we're like, we're going page by page, folks.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Good reminder.
Yeah, good reminder. Awesome reminder.
My question's going to go back to one of the regular ones. And any update on the date we expect to see sewer?
Oh.
I haven't.
Is there a special work study meeting?
There was a work study on Tuesday, and basically, it was just kind of the city's consultant and public works department briefing the council on the fact that the sewer treatment plants experienced some issues, and right now we've got our consultant trying to find out and get to the bottom of the reasons, and we don't have the answers yet to some of the questions that have arisen. So we're hoping to have more information within the month on at least what the issues were, and so we can identify the necessary fixes.
Let's say we need to find another way to or site to treat.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have some areas that we're looking at?
We're thinking about all different kinds of things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess the reason I keep picking at it is that every meeting that we come in here and pass some change that has an impact on water and sewer capacity, I am nervous about the idea that we're setting folks up for trouble, potentially. And while that may not come directly back to me, that won't lessen the way that I'll feel or the public's going to feel about us if we've done that.
So did I understand you correctly that so anybody who was part of the ULID and potentially can connect into sewer, there's no permits being approved right now, right?
We're in fact-finding mode, and we're holding off on. So if somebody comes in for pre-app, we just say right now we can't issue concurrency. Okay, that means sewer availability. How long that stays like that will only be dependent on what we find is the reasons behind it, and we're looking at all different things, just misreadings, because some of the equipment in the reading aspect could, have been a part of the problem. We're looking at trying to find if there's a commercial user that we're not aware of that's all of a sudden changed habits or something like that.
So the exploration is more oriented around the functioning of the plant than its actual total capacity.
It's both. The plant has a capacity at 2 million gallons per day. We were running at about 950,000 gallons per day.
Less than half.
Right, less than half. So on a capacity standpoint, we have capacity on paper, right? As you connect new clients to the utility, you pay for the improvements necessary to grow the capacity. Okay, so we capacity-wise on paper, we're fine. The problem was that last month the plant experienced some problems at about a million gallons per day. And so we have to find out why. And so that's part of the fact finding is, okay, what happened when we weren't even at the full capacity? And then also the organic load, they call it the BODs, was high. And that is usually typical when you have industrial users. And we haven't had that. So we are trying to figure out, is something different, something new? So there's right now a lot of different things we're looking at, including growing capacity beyond that two million gallons. And that would be part of the improvements. But either way, you're going to see improvements at the wastewater treatment plant in the next 2 years, starting pretty immediately.
Because that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah. It's just now.
Mm-hmm. Now it's like, cool.
Yeah. And we want to hold off on additional, right now that's why we're holding off on issuing any kind of currency until we have the answers.
So, not on that note, but what all is on some people's minds, or most of our minds, what happened with the landslide. I keep hearing in my head, while we have a desire to grow, we have a need to grow. I go back to our levees not being certified and our wettest March maybe on record. And how we are going to look at our comprehensive plan and really think about, are we developing properly to prevent some type of large catastrophe, or are we needing to shore up what we currently have to ensure that doesn't happen, and figuring out how that cost is going to weigh into some of that development.
The levees, if that's what your focus is the county is doing a study on the best ways to address flooding and improvements to the levees or the river system. So right now they're looking at levee setbacks and some excavation of the rocks within the bed.
In the existing development regulation, or I should say, so the FEMA rating, which drives construction elevation, right, ignores the levees.
It does, yeah.
So any new construction assumes the levee to not be there. Mm-hmm. So the biggest risk we have is to existing, right, if the levees fail.
Yeah.
To existing levees?
To existing buildings.
Oh, right.
Is that we're not built to those standards,
right.
New standards.
So did I understand correctly, was it our last meeting that we talked about the street standards that was brought back?
I think that was just last meeting.
That was our last meeting, yes, because then it was
the
city council did not take our recommendation. Therefore, there we have more pavement, and we'll have more pavement.
That's correct.
In LID?
Yes. In a lot of the areas. Okay. Just on my another topic. So, conveniently, I got an email a few weeks ago, and it was talking about there was some conference or event that's happening, and I can go back to my email and find it and send it to you guys. But one of the topics on there that I thought was just like perfect timing of how to, when you're thinking about planning, how you incorporate appropriate design standards to address security. And so I thought it was like perfect timing with the...
Is that on the Paw Spring conference?
Security, what kind of security?
Physical building security.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Uh-huh. Well, but maybe even not that specific, but it's just when you're doing your planning around your building and design standards, that you're doing things to enhance and make security just kind of a natural thing that happens because of how you might do landscaping differently or entries and that sort of thing. And I was like, oh, how to me, awesome topic.
Right.
is this something that, is this a conference that you guys go to? Is this something that, I mean, because there wasn't fee or cost or whatever.
If it's on that agenda for Paul, all you guys are going, aren't you?
Okay.
Well, Megan, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, Megan.
I think it might have been the pod. I feel like I've seen it.
So yeah. I just think it would be super interesting.
It would be.
Just because of recent event, and it just seems like it's always a topic when there's something that we're talking about. It's like, oh, security, whether it's traffic security or people security or bicycle pedestrian security and or safety. So I'll see if I'll send you an email just to make sure.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.